Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're pleased to welcome Andrew Filippone. You can hear him Saturdays, 2 o'clock Eastern. That's 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. He also does Afternoon Drive in Pittsburgh on our affiliate 93.7 The Fan. So what's your reaction to this deal getting done, Andrew?
Well, I'm, shocked, Amy, that Roethlisberger took a pay cut. Because, he had said that he didn't care about the money, but I think at least I took that as one of the hollow gestures that, typically athletes will do. They'll talk about how they don't care about that stuff. And then J.J. Watt, for example, will sign for $31 million for a team that went 8-8 last year. So I always think these guys keep score with W-2s and paychecks and things like that. But, I give Roethlisberger credit for that part of this whole thing, Amy. Like, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning did it in 2018, or excuse me, he did that in 2015, for the Broncos the year before they won the Super Bowl. He took a $4 million pay cut. So it's not unprecedented, but it's unusual. And so I thought for a little while here that Ben and his agent were not only angling for more money, but maybe a legitimate contract extension, not just one of these dummy voidable year kinds of things. So that part of it surprised me. $5 million less. I don't think the Steelers would have released him had he said, no, I don't want to pay for $14 million. Give me 19, give me 20. I think the Steelers probably would have blinked in that game of chicken, but I'll take Ben at his word. I think he legitimately thinks that money will help the team get the right players around him for this upcoming season.
You mentioned other high-profile quarterbacks that are headed for the Hall of Fame. We know Peyton's already in. Brady will be. And then Drew Brees hasn't played for top dollar the last few years either. And actually, whether or not he retires, his salary for next season's $1 million, right? So do you think that Ben, who is also headed for Canton eventually, kind of sees what else is happening and recognizes that sometimes you got to do this if that's how you want to go out?
Well, I think he gets the PR part of it. Where with Brady, I mean, Ben is, I'm not, saying anything that is out of line. I mean, I used to do a show with the guy for a long time. Ben has rabbit ears. The antenna's up. Whether he hears it firsthand or he gets it from somebody else, he's aware of what the conversation is about him. And I think that he's probably sick of hearing people like you and me say, Tom Brady, he doesn't play for $40 million a year. When he was in New England, whether it was Giselle or whatever else that afforded him or allowed him to pay for less in a salary cap sport, he did it. And I think Ben, with this move, he's made $250 million in his career. I think he understands that $5 million can buy him a lot of goodwill as far as the perception goes with him. Now, I still have real doubts, and I'm very skeptical about what the cap space will do for his ability to help the Steelers and for them to surround him with players to compete for a championship, even compete for a division or playoff spot. But I think he understands that, you know, at this point in his career, you know, there's a lot in terms of, you know, legacy stuff. You know, the fact that he gave money back, I think, will be, you know, something that Steelers fans will remember, regardless of how the team performs this year, that he was one of the few athletes that was willing to take less and put the team first.
Andrew Filippone is with us from Pittsburgh. You can hear him weekends, Saturdays on CBS Sports Radio Network, and he's Afternoon Drive on our Pittsburgh affiliate, 93.7 The Fan. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Is this the final year for Ben Roethlisberger, or is that still up in the air?
Well, it should be. I mean, the way the contract is written, it doesn't seem like there's much room for 2022. They'd have to go back to the negotiating table after this year. It seems like there's at least a kind of wink-wink handshake agreement that this is going to be his last chance, that he doesn't want to go out the way that he did with a horrible, you know, 48-37 final score. Really isn't even indicative of the way the Steelers got blown out in the wild card around a little brother Cleveland Brown. So, you know, I think the Steelers are sentimental to Ben. I think it reminds me in a lot of ways of how it was so hard for the Giants to let go of Eli Manning, and they drag that whole thing out with him. And I think that there's some of that going on here. I mean, it's not as bad as Eli because the Steelers were 12-4 last year and Ben threw 33 touchdown passes. But if you watched them, and to me, how Ben performed in December and January should mean a lot more than how he played in September. 12 touchdowns, but there were 8 interceptions in there, and the team lost 4 of his last 5 starts. So, yeah, I think the Steelers had legitimate reasons to want to move on from Big Ben this offseason. That's what I would have done, because I don't see the supporting cast around him to really give it a solid go this year. But I think it's hard to say goodbye on both ends. And I don't know yet if this – I don't want it to sound super pessimistic, Amy, but, you know, there's a big part of me that feels like at the end of the 2021 season, both sides will have ultimately regretted running this back and trying it one more time.
Well, the question always becomes about moving on from a quarterback, especially one as established as Ben. If not him, then who? Where would you have liked the Pittsburgh Steelers to find a new QB? Because honestly, as much as people talk about all the QB movement this offseason, there aren't nearly as many quality quarterbacks available as what people think.
Well, yeah. I mean, as long as Houston is going to, you know, continue to keep Deshaun Watson and the Russell Wilson thing, I'm with you. I don't think they're going to give in and trade him for pennies on the dollar and take the $38 million dead money hit or whatever it is on him and, you know, everything that's gone on there. I would agree with you. I think right now those two quarterbacks are likely to stay put at least for one more year. So, yeah, like, were the Steelers going to make a blockbuster deal with a big cap hit from Ben at the same time, force him to retire or release him and make one of those trades? Highly unlikely. I mean, even if they wanted to do that, they probably wouldn't have had the trade ammunition in terms of picks and players to make a deal like that. They would have probably, even if they were in the conversation, would have finished as a runner-up to somebody else. I don't really know, though, Amy, if there needs to be a good answer to your question to move on. I don't think there needs to be to have moved on from Ben this offseason because, you know, You know, at least I think you know with Roethlisberger, that there's going to be a ceiling on how much winning you can do in 2021. The same way that the Colts found out with Phillip Rivers, who had a pretty good year, but there's only so far he could have taken them this season. And to me, the Steelers are not the type of franchise that just, you know, brings the band back or tries to go win 9 games and sneak into the playoffs. That to me is not their identity as a franchise, nor should it be. It's about championships. And if you can take, and if you have to take a step backwards to take 2 steps forwards towards a championship, I think you do that. And that's what I would have done. You know, I think at some point they're going to try to give Mason Rudolph an opportunity to be a starting quarterback and they keep putting it off. I would have done it this year. I would have said, all right, here's your chance, Mason. You want to be one of these guys? We drafted you in the 3rd round. We said we had a 1st round grade on you. Let's see what you've got. And if it backfires and, you know, you win 6 games, well, now you're in a position where you can take a quarterback in next year's draft, or or you don't have Ben Roethlisberger's money on the books anymore. And if there's a free agent quarterback, or in 2022, if Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson do become available, well, now you've got more draft capital to make a move like that. And I think they would be an appealing franchise to one of those two guys. So that's what I mean. I mean, to me, like, the idea of just trying to be competitive and, you know, go 8-8 or 9-7 or 10-6 or whatever it is next year, like, that's not really what it should be about with the Steelers. And I think best case scenario, Amy, that's what Ben Roethlisberger will get them in 2021. Absolute best case scenario.
Regardless of what other moves they might make, because they obviously need to address, well, there's a hole, at least one in the offensive line, plus the run game. You don't think that the ceiling's any higher regardless of what else they do?
No, because what last year's team, you can say what you will about their win-loss record. You know, they won 12 games, but they flamed out and got killed in the playoffs again. And that's now four straight years that the Steelers haven't won a playoff game. That's an eternity for this team. It makes no sense that they've had Ben Roethlisberger. For part of that, they had Antonio Brown before, you know, he self-combusted here. And they had a defense that always has great stats but doesn't seem to want to come through in December or late in the season. So I just think they've met their logical endpoint. I just don't see this nucleus all of a sudden in 2021, after years of underachieving, things are going to overnight be different. And it would be, I would have a different opinion, Amy, if maybe you looked around at their roster and their cap space and you said, all right, they've got the flexibility, they've got the freedom to go out and make big moves, to make big splash moves, to make themselves considerably better in one offseason. But guess what? They can't do that. I mean, what they're going to try to do, Amy, is bring back a watered-down version of the 2020 Steelers. Even with this move, they're still right up against the cap. Bud Dupree, everyone said after the year they missed him down the stretch. That's one of the reasons why the Browns beat him. Well, he's not coming back. Someone's going to pay him to be a number one edge rusher, not T.J. Watt's backup singer. Juju Smith-Schuster will not be here. I don't care what he tweets. I don't care what he TikToks. I don't care what he Instagrams. He's not coming back here. They don't really believe in giving out big money to wide receivers unless we're talking about borderline Hall of Fame guys like Hines, Ward, and Antonio Brown. They draft him so well, and they've got depth at the position. Even if they had money, I'm not convinced they would bring Juju back. Pouncey retired. Their left tackle is a free agent. Their left guard is a free agent. Their right tackle, their starting right tackle week one who got injured, is a free agent. That's four spots on your offensive line. So it's so hard for me. You know, two of your corners are free agents. Mike Hilton and Cam Sutton, guys that got considerable playing time. Hilton's one of the best slot corners in the entire NFL. So there's just so many holes to fill. And I don't see how the Steelers do that in one offseason, Amy. And I don't see how Ben Roethlisberger, as a quarterback at this point in his career, is able to fill those holes by just being, you know, one of the best players at the most important position in the NFL.
Andrew Filippone is with us from Pittsburgh. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So your opinion, your really strong ones about what 2021 is going to look like and all the uncertainty, do you think the majority of Steelers fans share your sentiments, whereas they would have been happy, maybe not happy, but they would have been okay with Roethlisberger retiring after what happened last year?
I think it's pretty close. I mean, I don't know if everyone has, you know, exactly like this, you know, blueprint in their head like I do of what I would do, where I would take the direction of the franchise. Although, as I say this out loud, I feel like I'm lying to you, because I feel like every Steelers fan feels like they should be the general manager of the coaching team. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty close to 50-50. I think it might be 60-40 that fans want him back, just because the reality, or the alternative, I should say, is not, like, there is some pain and suffering that probably comes with that. And I don't think it's, look, a lot of people here that have tried to justify bringing Ben back and hanging on to him until it's abundantly clear that he can't get it done anymore, or let me say this, can't get it done anymore, I mean, isn't good enough to excel to a point where he makes everybody else better. I think he can be an average quarterback, but I don't think an average quarterback on this team is good enough. I just think that it gets exaggerated here what life was like in between Terry Bradshaw and Ben Roethlisberger. It gets exaggerated, I should say, how bad it was. I mean, there were lean years. Chuck Noll went like 5 years, I think, without, you know, getting past the wild card round of the playoffs late in his tenure. But, you know, Bill Cowher's going into the Hall of Fame, Amy, because not just because of what he did in his 2 years with Ben Roethlisberger, but because the Steelers with quarterbacks like Neil O'Donnell and Cordell Stewart won playoff games. And actually, the thing that people fail to realize here is that, or at least maybe they don't pay attention to, is the last 10 years with Ben Roethlisberger were not as good as the previous 10 years before Ben Roethlisberger arrived. So I'm talking about from 1994 to 2003, the Steelers for that decade were a better team than the last decade we've watched. They've only won 3 playoff games since 2011. I mean, it's a remarkable stat that this team has won so many regular season games, but has had such a hard time finding postseason success since they lost to Green Bay in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, I think fans are pretty split on it. It's obviously super polarizing, which is good for us. but I do think people are about as honest about Ben and about as honest about the state of the Steelers as I've seen them in some time. A lot of fans are like me. They're ready to turn the page.
Mm. He just turned 39, actually, earlier this week. And as you mentioned, had 33 touchdowns, 10 picks. They finish up with a 1-4 mark in the regular season, that 5-game stretch. And, of course, the loss. Well, we don't even need to talk about the entire game against Cleveland. It was just that first quarter, 28-0.
Maybe, at least in that way, he either got humbled or he was willing to look himself in the mirror and say, all right, I got to do this for the team, even though it's maybe not what's best for my bank account or my bottom line. So if he has that attitude about, you know, the way the offense looks and how he should play in 2021, maybe things will be better. But again, as things stand right now, Amy, I don't look at the Steelers as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. In fact, I think they'll be lucky to make the playoffs.
Andrew Filippone from our affiliate in Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan. You can hear him afternoon drive 2 to 6 Pittsburgh time, but also 2 to 6 Saturdays Eastern on CBS Sports Radio. It's great to catch up with you. As you say, it's great for business, so I appreciate a couple of minutes.
No problem, Amy. Anytime.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.